Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 4th, 2017, or the Sibian 10, 2021. We will start our third service on this Pentecost High Sabbath with a song entitled, He Lives. Our serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living wherever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always there. He lives, He lives, not sure lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along like a narrow way. He lives, salvation to Him part. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to Him part. You ask me how rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Yeshua the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. Another is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives. Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to Him pours. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Born again, number 15. This is also number 2 of Pentecost. And we're going to continue on with two timely greetings. Number 46 of Vicky Hottis. And we're on page 32. He says, who would dare question that in prophecy, these are the people, and this is the congregation that completes the work, the only people and the only congregation that will possess all the gifts of the Spirit, from the gift of prophecy to the gift of government and gift of miracles, that these gifts are given them for the achievement of their crowning work of the lighting the earth with glory, Revelation 18:1, of the preaching this gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness unto all nations, thereby getting Yahweh's people to second fruit, carefree my people out of Babylon, Revelation 18:4, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people whom Babylon rules. They bring their brethren and to the congregation purified, Isaiah 6:19-20, the kingdom of Yahweh on the earth in its infant restoration. Okay. prophetically envisioning in the long ago this glorious day of the triumph for the people of the house of Israel, of the Yahweh. Actually, it says Church of Yahweh. So let's do that again. Prophetically envisioning in the long ago this glorious day of the triumph for the people and for the house of the Yahweh, kingdom of the Yahweh, and for the everlasting gospel through the blood of the everlasting covenant, inspiration jubilantly declared. Mighty miracles were wrought. The sick were healed, and signs and wonders followed the believers. Yahweh was in the work, and every saint, fearless of consequences, followed the convictions of his own conscience and united with those who were keeping all the commandments of Yahweh. And with the power, they sounded abroad the third angel's message, early writings, page 278. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. For the swords that were raised to kill Yahweh's people broke and fell as powerless as a straw. Early writings 2:85. Thus saith Yahweh, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of the truth, and the mountain of the Yahshua the host as the holy mountain. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come for the seeking of the Yahshua the host in Yahrushim, and for the praying before the Yahweh the Father. So it looks like Yahshua and the Father are going to be there together. Yahweh is going to be there as the great judge sitting upon the throne on the Day of Atonement in the most holy place. Yahshua is going to be there. Thus saith Yahshua the host, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that the Yahweh is with you. Zechariah 8:3, 22 and 23. Thus illuminating in particular the tongues question, Zechariah's prophecy reveals that in the gathering time, in the time when the Yahweh himself calls the congregation of the house of David a city of the truth, the holy mountain, it says a holy mountain. Okay, that's good. Indefinite article A, because the holy mountain is definitely in Jerusalem, where when it's all the enemy and the polluters of the sanctuary driven out over there, then you'll have the holy mountain for sure established there. The time in which nations go forth to seek the Yeshua and invite others to come with them, then it is that the whole congregation, every active soldier in the gospel army, will have the gift of tongues as is pointedly indicated by the affirmation that 10 men shall take a hold of all the languages of other nations, for the universal significance of this number is confirmed by the 10 toes of the great image of the Daniel 2, by the 10 horns of the beast of Daniel 7, and of the Revelation 13:1, by the 10 servants in the parable of the 10 pounds, Luke 19:12-25, and by the 10 virgins, Matthew 25:1-12, who are symbolical of the whole congregation of the Israel, the spiritual Israel of today, while the 5 wise virgins, parentheses, the wheat, and that's the grain that represents 144,000, the remnant, the first fruits of the harvest, in the judgment of the living, and the 5 foolish virgins, the tares, are still commingled in all these, as in all other instances. The number 10 is numerically symbolical of the universality. So the 10 virgins represents the 10 virgins in all of the Adventist churches around the world. Only the Adventist churches exclusively. Just as conclusive as is the Zechariah's prophecy on the genuine gift of the speaking in tongues are Joel's, Michael's, Jeremiah's early writings and the Revelation's prophecies on the other gifts of the miracles, including immunity to death, to be manifested among Elohim's people, continuing with the Joel's prophecy. We see the gifts are bestowed on both old and young. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. We know that that happened in 2002 at Kermit, but that's not the last time that the former and latter rain will fall. That was just for the benefit of separating the house of David from the house of Esau down at Kermit 2002. That was what that was for. You're going to have a former letter of rain falling together in the first month, and it's going to be pointed out by the Elijah David at the time of its fulfillment, and that will separate the wheat from the tares in the Adventist church, the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. That will happen when the former and the latter rain falls together in the first month. The latter rain falls in the third month to ripen the grain for the first harvest, the first fruits of the wheat. But the former rain falls in the spring to bring forth, to plant the seed, and for it to spring up and germinate and spring up. And then comes the latter rain to ripen the grain for the harvest. Former and latter rain, first month and the third month. Okay, and then, so it says, after that I'll pour out, come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Joel 2:23-28. Now, folks, this is going to take place after this country has gone through its civil war, and you have had the enemy purged out of this land, and the only ones left standing are the moral majority of the Christian right, and their candidates received this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because now they will listen to the truth that is being taught by the kingdom of Yahweh, the house of David. Okay. So it says, here too, in the plainest terms, it set forth the truth that after, not before, the former and the latter rain, both of which are figurative of the flesh, freshly revealed truths, coming directly from the throne of Yahweh, preceding the harvest during the time of the great harvest, during the gathering of the people, these gifts of the miracles will be restored. The result of the Elohim's restoring them is graphically pictured by both Isaiah and Micah, and they're almost identical words. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established on the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Yahushua, Micah 4:1-2. In addition to the testimony of the types here, from the mouth of at least seven witnesses, John, Micah, Joel, Daniel, Zechariah, Isaiah, Yahshua himself, is the more sure word of the prophecy, revealing that at the set time for the gift of miracles, Isaiah 66, and also Isaiah 89:10, and Jeremiah 23:5. In summary, their faithful testimony is that the manifestation of the gifts among men will be, number one, after, not before, the latter rain is poured out. Number two, after the stone is cut out of the mountain, that's the kingdom in its infancy, the house of David. Not before. Number three, the time when the Yahshua is getting the second fruits from the east and from the west. Number four, when Zion and Yerushalayim are called a city of the truth, as the mountain of the Yahshua the host, as the holy mountain, parentheses, holy kingdom, number five, when the inhabitants of that one city shall go to another sin. Let us go speedily to pray before the Yahweh and to seek the Yahshua the host. I will go also. Thus the Yahweh will free his people from both sin and sinners, keep them apart forevermore, and endow them with all miracle-working powers. Does he do this because they have been good, or for his name's sake? Here is his own answer. Now I'm going to read that again to you. Thus the Yahweh will free his people from both sin and sinners, keep them apart forevermore. Now this started in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. It took a whole year to make the first step of the separating of the sin from and sinners from among the righteous. It took a whole year from Passover to Passover, 2002-2003 at Kermit, to start just for the separating of the first fruits. The wave sheaf offering had to have a separation. They had to have a judgment. That's what the judgment fell on them. The house of Esau, which was actually sitting upon the throne of David, was actually the house of Judah. Okay. And so it says, keep them apart forevermore. Well, that separation started with us. And so now, from now on, every time you have a judgment, then you will have a separation of the sin and sinners from among the saints. Until they're completely separated and eliminated. And we had our last separation in 2014 with Alan DeLong and Sharon. They were the last that represented both sin and sinners in our congregation. And that has been eliminated. And so out of our midst and off of our campground. And so all that's left to do now is to sanctify the house of David here, holy, and mind, body, and spirit, for those that are, my wife and I, that represents the leadership here now. All we have to do is perfect righteousness and holiness, and putting all sin out of our lives and out of the kingdom forevermore. And we're striving to do this every day by implementing and restoring the ordained system of the true worship to its rightful order, and complying with all the ordinances and divine precepts and judgments and statutes that we are required to obey. And so, having said all that, this is the ultimate goal here of the everlasting kingdom of heaven. And when this is achieved, then you can expect then the year of Yahweh's redeemed for the antitypical Pentecost and to be poured out with power. And that Pentecostal power will come at the year when the 144,000 are to come forth and stand with the house of David with Yahshua the Lamb for Mount Sinai, Revelation 14:1. And so when that year is approaching, you'll know then that the house of David has been sanctified, purified, and made white, and are ready to receive the first fruits harvest. Meanwhile, the judgment then will come for the first fruits, and it will separate the wheat from the tares at that time. The wheat has not been separated yet from the tares. It's obvious by the fact that the Adventist Church is still carrying on business as usual around the world, and so therefore we must conclude then that the saints and sinners are still co-mingled there in her midst. Otherwise, she would have then been brought to her end and planed off. The mountain that was planed off was Mount Gilead in Kermit, Texas in 2002. That's representing technically the whole Adventist Church, that great mountain there in Zechariah 4:7. But we know that Gilead Center came to its end, but Mount Carmel didn't come to its end, and the Mount Bashan didn't come to its end, but Mount Gilead did, of the three mountains. Okay, having said all of that, it says, therefore, say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith Yahweh Yahweh Elohim, and I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all of your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment, and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Ezekiel 36:22-28. Note how clear these verses make the picture that what Elohim does for his people, he does not because they are worthy of it, really for the sake of his own name. That he does it not before, but after he takes them out of all the countries and brings them into their own land, that he then and there cleanses them and changes their hearts. So what's happening? He's in the process right now of bringing his people out of all countries wherein they have been scattered into the wilderness of the people, which is right here in Texas. The headquarters for the wilderness of the people is right here in Texas. And they will be gathered. And they have, and there many millions have already been gathered into this land. But the funny part about it is, or the strange thing about it, is that the Muslims, the half-brother to Isaac, the one that doesn't inherit anything, he's trying to take over the whole world he didn't inherit, and he's trying to take it over. In other words, he's trying to take over Isaac's inheritance and his followers, those that are the seed of Abraham through Isaac, the promised seed. Ishmael and his followers and his descendants are trying to take over the inheritance that has already been given by the blood ratification unto the house of Israel. Let us continue. All of which shows that as long as his people are commingled with the Pharisees and live among the Gentiles, they can never be fitted for translation. Obviously, therefore, the land of our fathers is to be our final and superb dressing chamber to fit us for the society of the pure, sinless, eternal beings. Do we see then, as plain as we should, that the fail to heed the truth of this most momentous event in all of church history is to forfeit the gift of the miracle with a fitness for translation and the right to live and reign with Yahshua during the 1,000 years. We dare not let the enemy cheat us of this new heart of fitness for heaven. Thus, in gathering in, it is indeed to be the second exodus, and it is to be exactly as the Yahshua has said. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Petros and from Cush, and from Elam and from Shinar, and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, like it was unto Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 11:11-16. And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of the acre for a door of the hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she camped out of the land of Egypt. Hosea 2:15. Instead of giving off of the Yahshua, many have taken the golden wedge and a goodly Babylonian garment, and hid them in the camp. If the presence of the one Achan was sufficient to weaken the whole camp of Israel, then we'd be surprised at the little success which attends our efforts. When every church and almost every family has its Achan, Testimony, Volume 5, page 157, well, we certainly discovered our Achan down at Tremont in the year of 1999. We discovered him, and Yahweh discovered him to me. And it all happened because of a sermon that Brother Johnson preached about this very thing. He quoted this very thing right here. Almost an Achan in every family. and he was directing that at me, but nevertheless, when it was over with, I asked Yahweh about it, and he told me who the true agent was, and I went and reported to Brother W. Johnson, and I told him it was his son David, and that because that his son David would be to have to die, because whoever the agent is, he has to die. And so it came to pass that his son did die, and according to the prophecy that I had given of Brother Johnson. And so we've already had this Achan revealed. Judgment has already been passed upon the first Achan that we found in the camp. And so that is a sign and a token that all the Achans found in the camp of Israel from here until the 144,000 comes forth, they will all be destroyed. They will all be separated from the saints, the 144,000, and they will be bound in bundles. And they will be identified as terrors. So there's your Achan. Not just one in every family. One in every family. And all your terrors are identified as Achan. Alright? Hence, the reason for the imminent purification of the congregation, the destruction of the Achans of the day, and the preparation for the antitypical crossing of the Jordan, it is now to be considered how this work of the shaking, separating, will begin, and also how the church is to hear of it. Years ago, the Spirit of the Yahweh opened up the truth in the vision. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, declared the recipient of the vision, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the living sin. The true witness is Yahshua, according to Revelation 1:5. Yahshua is the true witness. Okay. And it says, this will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver. So not all is going to receive this true counsel. Brother didn't receive it. He wouldn't have nothing to do with it. I received it, and the rest is history. And will lead him to exalt the standard. Okay, what's the standard? That's the ordained system of true worship. That's your signet. That is your scepter. That is your staff. That is your shepherd's rod. That is your symbol of representing Yahweh's government. And the sanctuary system completely restored. And pour forth the straight truth of the Yahweh's government. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what will cause a shaking among Yahweh's people. Early writings, page 270. Done been through that, done that, and the rest is history. As far as where it all happened, that at Gilead Center. In this vision, we are introduced unto a mighty message that is to be carried unto the latest end. And that is to commence the shaking among Yahweh's people. And we commenced it at the headwaters, at the headquarters, with the ancient men for the house. Starting the first judgment for the wave sheaf, the house of David, at Kermit, Texas, 2002, and that's what it says right here. It will commence among Yahweh, and that is to commence the shaking among Yahweh's people. And then that shaking goes through the church until it shakes every terror out of it, clear down to see the 144,000, and then it goes from there by the 144,000. They are carriers of this message, and they will take this in as well, unto the islands, and to the nations, and to the Gentiles that are far off, which have not heard of his fame, nor his glory, and they will be brought in a clean vessel to Yahweh's holy mountain. Then, in the subsequent vision and testimony, we are given for the scene of the glorious sequel unto this shaking. Mighty miracles were wrought, the sick were healed, and signs and wonders followed the believers. Yahweh was in the work, and every saint, fearless of the consequences, followed the convictions of his own conscience, and united with those who were keeping all the commandments of Yahweh, and with the power they sounded abroad the third message, the third angel's message, page 278. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your Yahweh will come with vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save you. and the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame a man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Isaiah 35:4-6. It is impossible to give any idea of the experience of the people of the Yahweh, who shall be alive upon the earth when the celestial glory and a repetition of the persecutions of the past are blended. They will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of Yahweh. By the means of the angels, there will be constant communication between heaven and earth. And Satan, surrounded by the evil angels and claiming to be Yahweh, will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Yahweh's people will not find their safety in working miracles, for Satan will counterfeit the miracles that will be wrought. Yahweh's tried and tested people will find their power and the signs spoken of in the Exodus 31:12-18. Testimony, Volume 9, page 16. Envisioning this great day of Yahweh's power, the gospel prophet, who focuses our eyes upon those who, heeding the straight testimony, survive the ordeal of the shaking, and behold face to face those wondrous things of the future glory. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, and not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Yahweh will be unto us the place of broad rivers, and actually there the glorious Yahshua, the Son, will be unto us the place of the broad rivers, and streams wherein shall go no galleon with oars. Neither shall a gallant ship pass thereby, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick, and the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Israel, Isaiah 33:20-21-24. Then under this already glorious picture, inspiration adds still another enlightening and heartening facet. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. Joel 2:32 and Joel 3:20. But upon the Mount Zion shall be delivered, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess its possession, and Savior shall come upon the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's, Obadiah 1:17-21. These two prophecies of the deliverance and of the subsequent events vividly reveal the wonder-working power which is to invest those who endure the swiftly approaching great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, or the dreadful day of the Yahweh, which the Yahshua also, the day of the Yahshua's wrath. And now, as the day hastens on apace, Testimony, Volume 5, page 80, it says, to indulge in the ruin, the later sins who turn a deaf ear unto the message which causes the shaking, virtually none, but the sick, the afflicted, the outcast, and those from the streets and the land will be humble and lowly enough to respond unto the warning, to experience the transforming power of the divine grace upon their hearts, the progressively sanctifying inspiration of the righteousness by the faith, and to be among the gathered ones, as inspiration thus further discloses, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:12. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at the supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore cannot come. So that servant came and showed his master these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Luke 14:16-21. The wicked shall be wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. Who are wise to understand? Are you, brother, sister? Will you act now, while there is time? Will you face the picture and get ready to meet the situation? Will you? Before the Spirit of Yahweh leaves you, and the enemy secures final advantage over you, will you realize that as he beguiles the rich with vanities and grinds the poor with cares, he will use every weapon he has to dishearten, discourage, and scatter all who accept the Yahweh's merciful invitation unto his supper. Moreover, as sure as the devil lives, he will employ every possible agency to either add unto Yahweh's truth or subtract from it, aggravating and disheartening, especially capitalizing on the misfortunes and afflictions of the saints, to thus secure their own their downfall if possible. Principally will he depend upon two of his most powerful and successful agencies, extremism, one pushing to the right and another to the left, in an effort to scatter as many as possible away from the center path of the light. He will endeavor to drive one class into the fires of the fanaticism and to plunge another class into the icy waters of unconcern. Under this end, he will seek to convince the former class that their afflictions and misfortunes are the evident result of the imperfect obedience unto the present truth, and will mark the latter class as fanatically strict in their course of the faith. The only ones that will endure unto the end will be those who carefully watch their steps from being carried away either by his additions to or by his subtractions from the works of the inspiration. For the informed, however, will rejoice rather than be pushed and driven to despair. Nothing, not even the afflictions of Job, will discourage them, for they will be wise and will understand. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free from the Satan's snare. They will remember that the blind man, John 9:1-3, was born blind, not because of someone's sin, but only that the Son of Man might be glorified in him. They will, as well, consider that both Lazarus and Dorcas took sick and died, not because they were the biggest sinners of the day, but that the Son of Man might demonstrate that he has power not only to heal the sick, but also to raise the dead at his will. They will perceive that affliction and misfortunes that have come upon them have not drawn them away from Yahweh, but rather have drawn them closer unto him. And they are better off to go into the kingdom, poor, maimed, halt, and blind, than to go into perdition, rich in houses, and lands, and oxen, and health, or whatsoever, with tears of joy over his forgiving her great sins. Mary Magdalene therewith washed her Savior's feet and wiped them with her hair, then breaking the precious alabaster box and anointing his head with his ointment, all the while this was taking place, Judas' greedy hands were twitching for the price of it to fatten his purse, though at the same time he was are pretentiously professing deep love for the poor. This hypocritical profession while a tabering upon his breast, as it were, with the voice of doves, he sought to pass off a genuine love for others by accusing Mary of extravagance and waste and Yahshua of vanity and waste. The informed and discerning will spot such false brethren in their midst and will know that if Yahweh wants his faithful ones sick, they will gladly suffer sickness for his sake. That if he wants them well, they will praise his holy name for health and strength to enable them to do something for the feeble, the disabled, the sick, and the suffering. That if he wants them dead, then they cannot live and will gladly die. That if he wants them living, they cannot and will not want to die. That whatever he wants, this is what and will gladly take. Their hope will be in him only. They will close their ears unto all who, in one way or another, seek to reprobate truth's cause today. They will not listen to gossip. They will be confident that Yahweh is at the head of the work, that he himself is attending unto his business. They will know that all who remain in the pits of the falsehood and unrighteousness will finally go into the bottomless pit of the perdition. The lesson too from the Job's trials will be for their learning hope and courage. They will understand and consider well the fact that there were jobs before the Job of the Bible. That there were jobs before the Jobs of the Bible. That there were jobs since him. That there are jobs today, and that there will be jobs till kingdom come. For the faith in the Yahweh will be in the truth and in the confidence, whether in the weal or in the woe, in sickness or in death, and nothing will be able to move them from the heaven's message for the day. They will know that it is to be either their life or their death, and the life will they cling. They will not be found murmuring, doubting, accusing, or despairing, for whatsoever their lot while inside of the Yahweh's heads, they will know it is his will for them. Every one of them will, with the heart and soul and in the certainty, say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Yahshua, from the Yahweh the Father, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Yahweh is thy keeper. The Yahweh is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Yahweh shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Yahweh shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121:1-8. And the accumulative light now shining on the much mooted question of the tongues and other miracles, none need longer continue in the darkness, mistake, or confusion as unto the nature, character, and purpose of the true miracle working power and the time for its manifestation. Sad to say, though, multitudes of the uninformed and misinformed will continue to get hooked as they jump at hooks baited with miracle promises dangling invitingly from the lines of the so-called miracle workers here, there, and everywhere, thus going from bad to worse, squandering their time and their money, their life and their health, their hope and their faith. No saints will pray. And wonder if Yahweh has heard and answered their prayer. They will know and rejoice in the faith that he has heard and answered them in his going in his own way, even though it be entirely contrary to that for which they have prayed. They will do what they can in Yahweh's way, except the help he provides, and know that it is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in a man. Psalms 118:8. Since the time for Yahweh to exalt any group of people with a demonstrational miracle working power has not yet come, though it is indeed fast approaching, and since you, brethren, know that the prophecy on this subject, if you heed them, how fortunate and happy you will be in the sparing yourself from the running hither and yon in the search of a miracle working power where there is no genuine. If you, brethren, stay inside of Yahweh's hedge of the inspired revelation and walk with him as did the Enoch of old, you will have him by your side every step of the way. So whatever your burden, leave it with him, and he himself will bear it for you unto the triumph. Know that he has heard your prayer, and that he will grant your request as he sees fit to carry out his plan. For you and for his gospel today. Miracle mongers and miracle hunters, fanatics, all bear in the mind, may become dangerously subversive, ready to sabotage everything that is not in accordance with their thinking. Loose and rubbing tongues will endeavor to shake the faith of us all. The ones, though, who bear the heaviest burden of the feeding of the flock with the meat and the due season will be the devil's main target. At just such a time as this, these devoted followers of Yahweh will profit most by the Yahweh's advice. Trust you not in a friend, put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against the father. A mother-in-law, a man's enemies, are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, Yahweh. I will wait for the Elohim of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. Micah 7:5-7. It will be discovered that there will be thousands of voices, some from professed believers and some from those who fight against the faith of the saints, one voice condemning one thing and another condemning another thing, and what one condemns another will approve. But when held close unto the light of the Elohim's word, all the discordant philosophizing and murmuring, their man-made plans and carnal ideas will be seen to be but a tumult of the envy, jealousy, pride, self-opinionation, hatred, malice, politics, greed, prejudice, and every other selfishness. These unfortunate self-sent ones, being yet in the spiritual darkness, doubtless imagine themselves to be working for Yahweh with the zeal and energy, but one day they will Paul finally discovered that they had been working against Yahweh, as Saul of Tarsus discovered about himself. May the prayers of the saints awaken them and put them working for the Yeshua, as the prayers of Stephen taught Saul to become the great apostle Paul, for both Jew and Gentile. And may he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says, and hold fast that which he hath, unless the enemy deceitfully take it from his grasp. Okay, that's the end of Timely Greetings, Volume 2, Number 46. And let us go now, and we just got a little time left. We got about 10 minutes for our regular sermon. Okay, let's go to Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, Book. And let's get into Page 98. Let's Let's read the last paragraph of 97. It says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb according unto the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doors posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Yahshua's Passover. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Exodus 12:3-13. And the antitype is, this will take place again. This will certainly tell us that we are there whenever we see the Yahweh bringing forth 144,000 here that are covered by this blood, and whenever he takes them forth out of this land along with the rest that does to go with them, then he's going to smite this Egypt again. And this Egypt is where we're at today. Outside the borders of Canaan, we are in the land of Egypt. All the ceremonies of the feast were types of the work of Yahshua. The deliverance of Israel from Egypt was an object lesson, or a redemption, which the Passover was intended to keep in memory. The slain lamb, the unleavened bread, the sheaf of the first fruit, represents the Savior. Desire of Ages, page 77. The lamb represents Yahshua, Isaiah 53:7. The lamb roasted by fire, the Spirit of Yahweh. Genesis 15:17, Acts 2:3, Leviticus 9:24. The eating of the flesh, Yahshua is our life, for in him we live and move and have our being, John 6:53. The loins girded, the truth of Yahweh, the Word, Ephesians 6:14. The shoes on the feet, the preparation of the gospel, Ephesians 6:15. The staff in the hand, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. And what did it say that David met Goliath with? That he had a sling and a stone, and he had a staff. Okay, now what did we just read? That staff in the hand of David represented the sword of the Spirit. Okay, you shall eat it in haste. Do not hesitate. Get ready. Quick delivery. Exodus 12:11. Okay. Exodus 12:34. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. The kneading trough is the Bible, Ephesians 6:13. The dough is the word of Yahweh it contains, Ezekiel 44:30. The type. Unleavened, the unadulterated word of Yahweh, and it must be kept as such, Revelation 22:18. The kneading troughs on your shoulders means, make sure you have the whole word of Yahweh continually with you. Thus shall you depart from Egypt, Ephesians 6:13. The bondage in Egypt represents the bondage of sin. The promises of deliverance are the promises of the gospel. The power revealed in the judgments upon the gods of the Egypt indicates the measure of power provided for the deliverance from the hard service of the God of this world. Review and Herald, January 23, 1930. The blood on the doorpost is a symbol of the seal. Revelation 7. Mark, Ezekiel 9, Revelation 7 and Ezekiel 9 is the same mark or seal. See Testimonies and Ministries, page 445. The blood being applied on the doorpost is to signify that the seal or mark by which 144,000 are to be sealed is to be visible. The doorpost and the forehead both have the same significance. We do not mean to say that it is a certain visible brand or mark on their forehead, but a seal of the character, principle, or rule. the standard being the pure word of Yahweh. Thus they apply unto the blood on the doorpost, and their brethren in the congregation could be conscious of a change. The only ones who can have the seal are those who sigh and cry for all the abominations, sins that are done in the church. But if any take part and try to throw a cloak over the existing evil in the church, and they are left without the seal, read volume 5, page 207, volume 12, page 207 to 12, and volume 3, page 266. The Red Sea. The Red Sea symbolizes Isaiah 63. Edom means red. Edom is Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. And I represent Jacob today. And we know that Esau has done come and gone, and he's passed off the scene. Time of Jacob's trouble is with his brother. That trouble is over with. His name was changed to Edom because he sold his birthright for a bowl of red body. And Esau himself was red. Therefore, we have Red Sea, Red Man, Red Body. Read Esau and Jacob, section 3. C, a symbol of people, Revelation 17, 15. Pharaoh and his host, the chief instigators against the Reformation. Egypt had developed an intricate ecclesiastical organization. It was proud of its religious institutions. It despised its people, Israel, who did not worship according unto the popular religion, and who now, under the message of the reform preached by the Moses, were taking their stand yet more fully to represent the truth and the law of the Yahweh. Review in the Herald, January 23, 1930. Bozrah, sheepfold, the church, Micah 2:12 and Isaiah 34:6. Edomites, those who sold their birthright to gratify appetite. That's who Kermit ended up being identified as, Edomites. They make their stomach their god. Violators of health reform. For further explanation, see page 156 under the heading Afflicted for His People's Sake. The bondage in Egypt represents the bondage of sin. The promises of the deliverance are the promises of the gospel. The power revealed in the judgments upon the gods of Egypt indicates the measure of the power provided for the deliverance from the hard service of the God of this world. The glorious triumph at the Red Sea foreshadows the victory, which is assured to every trusting child of Yahweh. Review and Herald, January 23, 1930. Mount Sinai. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Now, folks, this is something we got to think about today. When we leave here and go into the land of Israel again, to go back to the second Exodus, we go into the wilderness of Sinai. First, we go into the wilderness of Sinai, just like they did in the type. And Yahweh spake all these words, saying, I am the Yahweh, the Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 19:1, Exodus 20, verse 1 to 3. Here is where the 430 years ended, beginning with Abraham going out of Ur, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 760. Here is where Moses organized a church when he appointed 70 elders, and where Yahweh spoke unto the people himself. The experience of the Sinai is a symbol of the reorganization of the church. Yahweh himself takes charge of the Yahshua himself takes charge of the flock. We read in volume 5, page 80. By Ellen G. White, we have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christians, but this is not the case. Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly depend upon human instrumentality, but the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Yahweh will have a people pure and true in the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel, and then we will receive the new name given unto the congregation. And he says, and unto the angel, that this is already taking place, Roberta Study Johnson, Kermit, Texas, 2002, of the Congregation of the Latter Saints, in charge of the inspiration of the Adventists, write, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:14. This brings the close of our study. This hour contact us at the 11th hour calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Bring in the sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest, the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing not a cloud storm, winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Going forth with weeping, going forth the basket, though the loss of things our spirit often breathes. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Bringing in the sheaf, bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Bringing in the sheaf. Bring it in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bring it in the sheaf.